The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. Well, this program is sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. We are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they are where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. Why are they essential to our relationship with God? One only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the history, the current ministries, and the people of St. Agnes, Our Lady of Fatima Parish in Cleveland's Hough area on the east side. Its history, reflecting the evolution of a city neighborhood with social and demographic changes resulting in a parish which embraced change, in fact, witnessing a period of unprecedented growth in the 1990s, while becoming one of the most prominent inner-city parishes, serving a largely African-American congregation, while celebrating 125 years as a parish in 2018. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship is the pastor, Brother Bob Marva, who is joined by Marita Wilhite. She's the leader of the Education Commission at the parish, and Charles Smith, chairman of the Young Adult Ministry. And let's begin, Brother Bob, first so the audience understands, as pastor of St. Agnes Our Lady of Fatima, you are an ordained priest, but prefer being called Brother Bob, correct?
Correct. So I'm a Capuchin Franciscan priest, so our first vocation is to the Brotherhood, the Franciscan Brotherhood. Some of the brothers are ordained priests. And so some will go by brother, some will go by father. You know, it becomes a little bit of a preference, but my ministry here, I really wanted to set that tone as how I wanted to be as a pastor, not as an overlord, but as a real brother, as we did ministry together in this parish.
Amen. Well, let's first then, Brother Bob, let's address the history of St. Agnes Parish, when it was established and who it served.
Wow, so this goes way back. 1893, St. Agnes was established as a parish, and it was the first Catholic parish that was on Euclid Avenue, which was Millionaire's Row, which was inhabited by certainly the wealthy and elite of Cleveland, but most of whom were Christians but not Catholic. For St. Agnes to be able to open and establish on Euclid Avenue at East 79th Street was a great, already a turning in the city. The parish continued to grow, and in 1916, there was a huge stone church that was built, a magnificent tower and a large space. But by the 1940s, already the city on the east side had begun to change. Certainly, there was the huge migration north of many African-Americans in search of jobs and opportunities in many of the industrial cities. Cleveland was among them. So as they came to this community, many found themselves looking for a place to worship. St. Agnes began to make its changes in terms of its demographics in the 50s. With that, and everybody moving in and moving out and all kinds of things, the parish really shrunk and diminished in size. So that by 1960, it was about half the size of its 1,200 families that it had previously. At that time in 1960, the missionary servants Blessed Trinity took over the ministries there and saw St. Agnes through some really tumultuous times here in the city. The parish was stable, really, until the unrest and the upset of 1966. And that summer erupted into gunfire, death, and the destruction of much of the Huff business neighborhood, so that anybody who could leave the neighborhood at that time did, black and white. And so it left the neighborhood half its size and dealing with issues of urban poverty and neglect. At one point, the city even would not provide services such as trash pickup or mail delivery. Things had gotten to that difficult point. So over time, the parish continued to minister as best as it could, you know, through outreach and clothing, and Miss Fraser and a number of the ladies and members of the parish had a thrift store making things available to those who had need. There was food and a pantry and kitchen prepared, but the parish just continued to dwindle, so that by 1975, the building was in major need of repairs. The congregation had shrunk to 100 members, and so the parish merged in 1980 with Our Lady of Fatima Parish over on Lexington Avenue. Unfortunately, the large St. Agnes Church had to be torn down, and all that is left is a wonderful bell tower with a 5,000-pound bell in it. I think it's the largest in the city, but that's where it sits, and that's the legacy to those who have come before us at St. Agnes.
That would be at roughly 79th and Euclid area?
Correct.
Okay.
79th and Euclid.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk a little bit about Our Lady of Fatima Parish. That was established many years beyond St. Agnes, but also was for a time a flourishing parish, correct?
And it was. It was opened in 1949 in what was at that time an Italian dance club. And before that, it was the League Park Movie House. And so the church opened in 1949, made its home here on Lexington Avenue, and served primarily Hispanic Puerto Rican community. That community continued to stay active through the 70s as people again began to move elsewhere following jobs and opportunities. Our Lady of Fatima also began to shrink. During the time of the upset here in Huff, it was at Our Lady of Fatima Parish that Father Albert and Sister Henrietta were very instrumental in making Our Lady of Fatima a real haven and beacon to the neighborhood, providing resources and at many times a place of safety where people could stay and even stayed overnight in the church because things were so out of order at that time. But the parishes both did merge on this site in 1980 and in 1983 through Bishop Pilla and then Auxiliary Bishop James Leick. A church was built here in 1983, and we wonderfully, incredibly outgrew it, and so now have a new church that was dedicated in 2015. And so the community continues to grow as a merged community, even before merging and closing was fashionable. The two communities came together and made a thriving community that continues today.
Well, that's great, and I'd like to talk very much not only about the community itself, of course, and all it means to not only the community, really to the diocese in many respects, but also, you know, about the building itself, and we'll do that coming up. When we return, St. Agnes, Our Lady of Fatima Parish, our subject and its involvement in the community on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. This is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message for our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mlesek's Gospel Reflection for that Sunday. Be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops up on your screen. My guests are the pastor of St. Agnes, Our Lady of Fatima Parish, Brother Bob Marva, and Marita Wilhite and Charles Smith. And with a predominantly African-American congregation, I wanted to ask Brother Bob about your church building itself. I understand when it was designed and constructed, it included elements reflective of the African-American culture. Is that correct?
We do. We try to be very intentional about the floor plan and the layout and design of the space. It's an octagonal building, an ancient shape in the life of the church, symbolic of new life coming out of baptism. And our baptismal font is also eight-sided in the church. Probably the most prominent feature for us is the African Christ on the crucifix that was carved for us many, many years ago by young men from Haiti. And so as they came to the States and the church was really starting out as a new entity in 1980, they brought this corpus for the cross, and it's been in our church ever since. And so it figures prominently in the sanctuary. Our seating is more circular, reflecting the communal nature of our assembly. And in our worship, you know, we are attentive to our elders, and as well as our youth, but particularly tending to our elders and their role to kind of call us to order and keep us together. We call it our wisdom council. But also in the church are other religious images, certainly of St. Martin de Porres, our patrons, St. Agnes and St. Francis. And we have a guardian angel statue that came to us from the old St. Edward Church on Woodland Avenue. And that's a whole nother history and story. But that angel has some features and is wearing a garment of African design. Trying to be attentive to that, and even in the Marian Shrine, not only do we have the image of Our Lady of Fatima, but we also have the Black Madonna and Child, as well as Our Lady of Guadalupe, that are part of our heritage as a community of faith.
Well, we know that the church has adapted its liturgies and programs to the various ethnic groups it served in Cleveland, for instance, from the Poles and Italians, Slovenians, Germans, Irish. What's been done to relate the Catholic faith to the African-American community? I think you just described some things, but how about within the liturgies and Marita and Charles, you know, in the programs that you have and are offering at the parish itself?
Well, I think that our music ministry very much is reflective of African-American culture in terms of the hymns that we sing and the spirit in which they are delivered. You know, it's just very, I think, very much in the nature of our culture, the way African-Americans typically communicate with music and song that speak to us and our history and our heritage.
Very good. Any other thoughts, Charles or Father, in that regard as far as, you know, extending into the culture?
I think there's a real expectation and a demand for excellence in preaching. I think when I was in the seminary, they told us 7 minutes was the Sunday homily. If I did 7 minutes here, I think I'd be thrown out in the street. So there is an expectation that there be time given to the preaching of the word and preparation be done for that. And if it doesn't happen, people let me know that. It's a real honest kind of dialogue, and when we say what a homily is, it is a real dialogue with the community. So I think, you know, certainly preaching, the service is a little longer sometimes, simply because if we're singing or if we're praying and folks are moved, we might just keep singing a little bit longer. So there, time is not really of the concern here, but the quality of worship is essential for us.
Now I'll ask you all, and anyone chime in, please, do you think enough has been done by the church to reach out to the African-American community in whatever directions you think might be necessary?
Well, within the community, I think that things are being done. I believe that there's always room for improvement and growth wherever you are. But I do think that we do a phenomenal job with reaching out to the community and engaging the community in the things that we do as a parish.
And Charles, it's interesting, you know, from your perspective, particularly, and that was one of my questions down the line, but I'd like to ask it now, reaching the youth. I mean, this is every parish in the diocese and frankly across America, you know, as far as reaching young people, bringing them into the faith or keeping them in the faith and keeping them interested in the faith. What, for instance, do you do in that practice or what do you see as the challenges there?
I believe the challenges there would be just, in a sense, to continue engaging the youth in everyday activities of, you know, the parish and the actual experience of Mass. I think the engagement is the biggest piece that a lot of people fail with. And I think we do a pretty good job here at Fatima with including our youth, our young adults, you know, our elderly. You know, we're pretty well-rounded there.
Yeah, I'm curious, very curious, and I think others would be too. For instance, can you give me an example of something you might do for that kind of outreach to bring them in and engage them?
Participation in Mass as far as reading. We have ushers. We have our greeters. Just actually participating in the life of, you know, our Mass.
You know, that brings up a point. You mentioned greeters. Would you say that hospitality is one of the real assets of the African-American church and its leaders? Rather, its liturgies, as far as engaging people, really that welcoming and interaction?
I do believe so, with the hospitality, especially here. I was actually in charge of our hospitality program at one point as well. With hospitality, I believe that's the key, and that's the groundbreaking piece for us as a parish. We are a very welcoming parish, and I've always experienced individuals come, and that's their first impression, and you know, it's a lasting impression for anyone.
I would just like to add, as far as hospitality is concerned, that when I bring visitors, I always tell my friends, they're always shocked that I'm Catholic, by the way, but I ask them to come to experience our worship here, and they always tell me how they felt so welcomed by everybody. People would come up to them and welcome them to the service, to the church. And that is the first thing that I was struck by. And also, you know, I just cannot leave this broadcast without saying that I have never heard a homily delivered the way that Brother Bob does. It feels like he can speak directly to the people in a way that they can understand and relate to. It's just, it's overwhelming sometimes when I think about it. I have never left church listening to one homily delivered by him that I didn't take something home with me, something that I felt I could use in my everyday life. And I've been to other churches, and I have not had that experience.
That's really wonderful insight, and what a compliment and a blessing to Brother Bob. Coming up, St. Agnes, Our Lady of Fatima, its current ministries, activities. We'll talk more on Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. And our focus for this broadcast, St. Agnes, Our Lady of Fatima Parish in Cleveland's Huff neighborhood. I'm your host, Bob Tayak, with my guest, Pastor Brother Bob Marva and Marita Wilhite and Charles Smith, members of the parish with capacities there in leadership. I did want to ask any one of you to talk a little bit about how the parish has responded, what you're doing in relationship to the Black Lives Matter movement and the efforts which have all surfaced since the death of George Floyd. That's more than a year ago. But I'm curious, within your community, what has transpired there as far as dealing with all of that?
One thing that struck me about St. Agnes, Our Lady of Fatima, was something that Brother Bob mentioned to me, and that's that Black lives have always mattered here in this parish. We didn't need the death of George Floyd to recognize that there were differences in the way people are treated in our country and how discrimination, you know, is prevalent still in the United States because we all experience it. So where other parishes, it may have been this thing that they discovered with the death of George Floyd, we always knew that. We do have a social justice committee or commission as well. I've always felt that Black lives have always mattered here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Marita, for that insight. Let's talk about the parish's focus on Catholic education, and I know that's where you're very much involved, particularly with schools, the ones that are operating in the predominantly African-American east side of Cleveland. Tell us about the programs and activities you have related to the education of our young people.
Well, we have several programs that we are either collaborating with within our community. We have had things like reading clubs that where we included not only the children in the parish, but we did invite children in the neighborhood as well. We have various parish education programs that are specifically designated for the youth so that they can grow in their faith from elementary school on through high school.
And you have a special scholarship program that's in action, is that correct?
That is correct. We have an education assistance program in place where we offer financial assistance to anyone from first through 12th grade, or those who are entering college who may have a financial need to further their education.
And that's available through the parish, and that would be earmarked for parishioners, for those students and children as such?
Yes, and for members of the surrounding communities, as long as they are connected to a faith-based community. It's open to everyone who lives within the boundaries of St. Agnes, Our Lady of Fatima, who are also connected to a place of worship.
Oh, that's very good to know as well. So they really, that really does reach out to the community, and education becomes such a strong component of what you do. And I guess I'd look, Brother Bob, what programs does the parish offer to serve parishioners and the community, other than, as we just talked about, education, and of course, Charles talked about that outreach to youth. Are you tied in at all with the Fatima Family Center, for instance, that is next door?
Very much so. So we do collaborate with Catholic Charities Fatima Family Center. We work together. Of course, before the pandemic, we served a weekly hot meal. We assist with the pantry and gathering volunteers to help to do that. We also work with the Family Center on after-school programs for children from the various schools in the community. So the children are brought here. There's after-school tutoring, a meal, and some support for them before they go home at the end of the day. We've also done some other outreach through the Family Center, particularly with some of our seniors. I do a Bible study with the seniors at the center, and so it's a rather ecumenical, non-denominational group, but we have a great time doing that, and it's great to hear some perspectives on the scriptures from others in our communities. So a lot of those kinds of connections are significant too, and of course every summer, Fatima has been known for its summer camp from way back in the day. Again, it will happen this year, scaled way back because of COVID, but those outreach and opportunities we share facilities, we share staff, we share happiness and heartache all at the same time.
And heartache all at the same time. Is that conducted on the campus or, you know, at your location or the camp itself or nearby?
It is. It is. And so there are a number of, you know, field trips and off-site visits to different museums and other opportunities for the children through the summer. But everything is based here.
Very
Monday
good.
Through Friday, 8 hours a day.
Wow. How can someone learn more about St. Agnes Our Lady of Fatima Parish? What's the best way to contact you or get more info?
We do currently have a website, and that website is saols.org, or we can be contacted at our telephone number also, 216-391-1655.
1655, and that's SAOLF, St. Agnes Our Lady of Fatima.org. Simple enough. Well, I would like to thank you all for joining us as you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring St. Agnes Our Lady of Fatima Parish in Cleveland's Huff neighborhood, Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. As written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.